Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Are we losing the art of conversation? I was reading this survey in the UK this morning. One in three of us find it hard to strike up a conversation with a total stranger. And 45% of us say that we don't even know what to say to somebody that we've never met before. We just find it extremely difficult to kickstart that chat. Gina London is a communications expert and Sunday Independent columnist. Gina, why do you think we find it so hard to talk to people that we don't know?
Well, I think, thanks, first of all, great to be with you and everyone. The first thing is, it's a networking event. If it's, you're on the dart, if it's in a grocery store, we are, I think, much more self-conscious than we are others conscious. And that doesn't mean we all have to suddenly become gregarious extroverts, but getting out of ourselves and thinking about others, cultivating that curiosity, is the first way to feel more courageous in order to make that first hello. And it really all has to be as simple as, hey, good morning, and take it from there. Hey, great to see you at the event, and take it from there. Hey, love to speak with you about, and fill in the blank. I think most people overthink it, and they miss an opportunity to make a connection, because while we're busy being self-conscious, other people are self-conscious too. Nobody's making that first move. And as a result, we're missing a lot of opportunities to make connections.
When you take off the communications professional hat for a moment, do you enjoy small talk, Gina?
You know, like Sean Beattie said earlier in the last hour, I don't always enjoy small talk myself. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
There are some times where I feel like, oh my gosh, I have gone through the motions on this one. I've shaken all the hands I can at the networking event and I'm out. And I think that's okay. In all seriousness, I think baby steps is the way to approach this. If you absolutely, let's think situationally, for example, I mentioned the dart, I mentioned the network event, two very different situations. Mm. And needless to say, with the increase of people walking around with AirPods in their ears, it's reducing our opportunities to even say a passing hello to someone, let alone start up a conversation. So the short way to start this is, do you know the name of the cashier person at your local grocery store? Do you know who your post office person is? Do you know your postman or your postwoman? Starting to actually be able to reach out and get to know the people that you come in contact frequently is going to help you start to be able to cultivate the muscle memory around how you might even say hello to someone on the dart, for example. And I'm not talking about suddenly telling someone that you've never met before your life story, because that is weird. But I think learning how to become more curious and be more open while still being situationally aware and wise, that's a really important beginning to start to stretch those muscles of your light connecting with other people. Because honestly, in my work, I can tell you, people are hungry for someone else to make that first move. And
it can be hard, though, Gina. Like, it can be a hard thing to do, to strike up the small talk chat with someone you don't really know.
Exactly. And so that's why I say start with those baby steps about people that you already might be seeing frequently. Like if you have a dog, for example, and you're out in the park, surely you're seeing the same dogs with the same people attached to those dogs. And have you just breezed by them, or have your dogs sniffed at each other? Maybe you know the dog's name, but you don't know the actual owner's name. Now, that's an opportunity to branch out from the little
use
board,
the dog like, as a sort of a crutch to chat to people.
Yeah. And here's what I was going to say also in terms of the science behind it. You were talking about that study or that survey from the UK. I happen to be friends with Bob Waldinger, the director of the world's longest study in happiness out of Harvard. And building relationships throughout your life is one of those keys. So it's not just when you're in grade school or in secondary school. Or for me, for example, when I moved to Ireland, I didn't know one single person in this country. So sometimes it feels safer to put those AirPods in when you're on the dart or you're walking along on the park. But the research shows counterintuitively, if you take those out and you even just say good morning, good afternoon, as you're walking past someone, that's starting to exercise those muscles of starting relationships.
Yeah. When you moved over here, Gina, are we the Irish? Are we good at small talk?
Yes. actually. I find that the Irish are very outgoing, which is lovely. I mean, compared to, say, I lived in Paris for 2 years, and that was a whole different situation. But I did even find Parisians would often, if I was in the park with my daughter and there was another mother with their daughter, you're finding that common ground that they would start talking. But particularly in an Irish context, I find that if you're open, they're open. And oftentimes, if you are in a taxi, for example, the lovely Irish taxi driver stereotype, I adore, like, you can find a great chat in just a small amount of time. When, again, you're exercising in a real safe context, those muscles around small chat.
Yeah.
So when you are in a business meeting, or if you're new to a neighborhood and you're like, oh, everybody should be bringing me the welcome fruit basket or something, why don't you bake something and take it around to a few neighbors nearby and say, hey, I'm new and love to say hi.
I wonder, do many,
I wonder, do many
Irish people, do they even do that? Screenwriter and columnist Stephanie Preisner is joining us as well, Gina. Do you enjoy small talk, Stephanie?
Just listening to Gina there, I'm kind of sweating. I'm like, oh God, oh my God. So I'm autistic, right? So I might not be the perfect person to talk about this in terms of how much I represent the general population. But the framework of your question is, are we losing the art of conversation?
Yeah.
And then you're asking about small talk. And for me, they're not the same thing.
Oh, really?
I can have so many conversations, like transformative conversations that I absolutely love about things that I'm interested in. But it seems to me that small talk is just like making statements. Like, you just walk into a hair salon, a taxi, and you make a statement. God, it's really cold today.
Yeah.
It's a lovely day.
Is it busy? How's the weather?
Is it busy? Have you been on long? Whatever. And then the conversation goes from there. And
yeah,
some are questions, for sure, but some are Irish
statements. And, yeah.
Well, it seems to me that, like, the either are, it's just like you a very broad question that you don't really care about the answer to, or a statement. God, it's really warm today. God, we had a lovely week there in July. God, I'm wrecked. Anyway, so then I cannot relate to the impulse, so I don't know what to say next. Okay, so like one time I was getting my hair and makeup done for TV, and the woman who was doing my hair said, God, it's very warm today. And I was just like, oh my God, oh my God. And what I said was, yeah, but when the sun sets, it will be cold. Because I was like, I don't know how to meet this fact.
Yeah.
Will I just meet it with another fact? And it seems to me that non-autistic people, or just like the general population, they, like what Gina is saying, is the small talk leads to a connection. And if the connection works, then the content becomes, it's like, okay, we have a connection based on the weather. Now I'm going to tell you about my troubles or whatever. And then, but for me, and it's this way for quite a lot of neurodiverse people, the content is the conversation. The content is the connection. Like, I can't connect with you if I'm talking about something I don't care about, I'm not interested in, I don't know you, so I don't care where you're going on holidays, I don't care about where you bought your shoes, I don't know how to comment on those things because I don't have a connection with you already. And so the content becomes really important. And so small talk or like general chit chat is really difficult because we are really interest focused. Like, I can talk to you all day. It's like if when I'm on News Talk and I'm covering for Moncrief or something or anyone, I have to work really hard on topics I'm not interested in. I have to write down my questions because I'm a curious person, but I'm not promiscuous in my curiosity.
Right.
I'm only curious about certain things. And if I'm not curious, I literally do not know the next question to ask. Like, particularly anything to do with dogs, I'll always say to the producers, I'm like, if it's anything to do with animals, I don't know what to say. Like, please do not bring Pete the vet on because I don't know what to ask him because I don't care.
You don't have an interest, yeah. And it's in a more general sense, though, when we talk about losing the art of conversation, I would always have said that that was something that in general, Stephanie, we as a nation, the Irish, were really good at. We love to chat.
Yeah, we love to chat, but we're useless at, like, look at our mental health issues. Look at our loneliness rating. We're really good at talking about the weather. That's not a conversation. That is space filler. That is because probably we're deeply uncomfortable with silence. But like, you ask anyone how many like how many close friends they have, and they'll tell you a far smaller number than how many people they talk about the weather with.
Yeah, it's a totally.
It's a totally
different.
Maybe I'm wrong.
It's a totally different figure. What about you, Emer? Emer's with us in Galway. Do you find it difficult to talk to, we'll say, strangers or people that you wouldn't necessarily count as your friends?
Well, I think again, it's that content thing. I was saying to your researcher there about kind of I run an art school in Carindulla, and I'd be doing a bit of promotion, so I might go to a networking event. And then you're in a room of strangers and you have to kind of go up and talk. And, I find that very, very difficult. And I was talking to one guy who was saying to me, well, you have to put kind of a mask on. You have to pretend, you know, pretend that you're this really confident, gregarious person just while you're doing the job of networking. But I think the conversation really is about a kind of fundamental loneliness. And Like I said, I run an art class. What that does is people come regularly. So you come to an art class, you can walk in the door on your own. And you don't have to be talking to anyone if you don't want to. It's not what you're there to do.
Yeah.
You're there to paint. But of course, we're all sitting around the table. There's six of us and we're going to start chatting. I mean, that would be my job as well, to kind of make it a kind of a fun event, you know? And then you come the next week and those people are still there and now you've got a thread. You're kind of saying, so how did you get, did you manage to get dressed for the wedding or what happened or, you know? So my sister is about to retire and I was talking to her about this and I was saying, you have to get out there and you have to get into things that are regular. Like I do work in the community and part of that is, you know, I don't want to be lonely. I need to get out and talk to people. I know that,
yeah.
You know, myself. Or I'm in a choir. So again, we meet every Monday and we're singing. But of course, there's a bit of chat in between. And, you know, exactly. And
yeah.
The first time you go, it's kind of hard because you're in a group where everyone else knows each other. And then you show up again and again. And now you're chatting too, do you know?
That is hard though. Like I myself, Emer, would find it some, you know, it can be difficult sometimes when you go to something when you don't know anybody there and, you know, you have to sort of initiate the conversation. Like it can be tricky.
Well, you see, I think that's why I'm saying if you're going for something other than I'm going to now and talk to people, that's what I'm going to do, which will be really difficult. But if you're going to say, no, I'm going to sing in a group, I'm going to help out, I'm in an arts group, I'm looking for volunteers because we're organising various art things. And, you know, you might get somebody come along and now they're in a group and they're involved in the community. And then when you see people that are helping you and you get to know so-and-so, and before you know it, you're walking around kind of smiling at people because you know them because they're in the choir or they're at your art class,
yeah,
or you know. But you have to make an effort because while it's very difficult, the worst thing in the world is to be lonely and to get to the weekend and realise you've got nothing ahead of you and you haven't spoken to many people this week. You know, that's worse than anything. So sometimes we have to be a bit brave.
Yeah, it's funny, lot of people making that connection actually here in WhatsApps today, you know, getting in touch, talking about the fact that without small talk, that it does sort of lead to loneliness, that we kind of need the conversation and the chat to help combat it. What about you, Hugh? Do you think, is the art of conversation dying out?
No, I disagree, to be honest. You know, I think the art of conversation is definitely not dying out. I think that while a lot of our work has moved digital and a lot of things have went digital, and I know looking from a person's point of view, while a lot of young people struggled with the art of conversation and development of conversation during COVID and lockdowns, and there's scientific reports saying it affected how young people speak to each other, etc. I think that we are very good at speaking to young people. We young people are very good at speaking with people. I myself very much enjoy striking a conversation up with someone. You know, I was traveling last month, and I strike up a conversation on the train. I very much enjoyed that. And
yeah, with strangers, you.
What, sorry?
With strangers, you'd strike up a conversation. Yeah, you know, no issue with that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, like, no, I, like, you know, I think you get used to it. I'm quite an outgoing person. But, of course, like, I'm involved with politically, et cetera, and with charities, et cetera. So, like, I'd sort of be trained in how to speak to people almost. And, you know, I think that it's easy to strike up a conversation once, you know, talk about something, whether it's something they're wearing or it's the weather or maybe how fast, just giving the example of the train, how fast the train is going or something. It's very easy to strike up a conversation
with people. Do you think, Stephanie, like just when Hugh mentioned phones and technology and mobiles, do you think is that part of why we often find it more difficult now or why some of us might be more hesitant to chat to strangers?
Well, I suppose we are more online, and so we're flexing that muscle, if that's the analogy you want to use, that like we're flexing the muscle of like communication through our phones differently. And we often hear conversations about like, oh, this generation or that generation don't like making phone calls. And I think our communication style has moved towards more asynchronous communication. So synchronous communication is like this on a phone now where you talk to me and I have to reply immediately. Asynchronous communication doesn't have to be in sync. So you send me a text, I can text back whenever I want. You send me a voice note, I'll voice note you back whenever I want. There's no pressure and it's not back and forth like table tennis. And that allows us a little bit of space to think, and it can be a quite comforting thing. But it means that when if you find that a comfortable way of communicating, and most people do, or a lot of people do, that when you're in a that an immediate conversation, a synchronous communication feels like a demand, and it can, you can feel the pressure of like somebody asking you something, and you don't have any time to think about it, and you have to just respond directly in the moment, whether it's a phone call or even worse, in person.
Yeah, there is certainly there is that pressure
to hide.
I've an interesting text in here from Chris in Cork, Gina. He says, you're absolutely brilliant at small talk and you'll talk to anybody. You're very friendly to strangers. So Chris has obviously met you at one of these networking events.
I appreciate that. But to Stephanie's point, it's because I've exercised the muscle in many ways. And I, like many people, don't always feel like it. And I don't always necessarily care. But if I'm in a situation and I start to focus that, who's that person? And like the guy that was going on the trains and talking, I'm thinking, observing them, what's interesting about them? How can I get out of me and get more focused onto them and ask not just statements, but questions like, oh, wow, that's an interesting watch. Is there a story? And 90% of the time there is. And that leads us into another situation. And that has been something I've cultivated over time. It has, for the record, not come naturally. I was very, very shy. I wasn't necessarily diagnosed on a spectrum or what have you, but extremely shy when I was a young girl.
And it is something that needs a little bit of work, isn't it? Yeah, for all of us.
Where you don't speak the language, you don't know the culture, is also things that would inhibit you from that sort of thing. And just knowing, though, that most people really are hungry for you to be interested in them.
Yeah.
So you're not just telling them about you, you're asking questions about them, is a good starting place to begin to take those baby steps to begin to feel more comfortable.
Gina London, Stephanie Preisner, Eimear Hugh, thanks a million for joining us here on Lunchtime Live. You can the email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.